today. Today on the first segment, oh my God, we talk about Champions League. A lot of stuff's going on. Is Arsenal still my favorite? Absolutely, because if not, I'm going to cry.
Okay, yes, sir. And Real Madrid has a lot of problems that they have to sort through right now. Also, Sophia Wilson is on the show. Alexis spoke to her real quick about her coming back to NWSL, coming back to the U.S. Women's National Team, especially after having a baby. And also in segment three, we have a special guest.
I'm Kaylin Kyle. We talked about Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, some geography, the U.S. Men's National Team. We talk about everything.
Elbows up!
All this and more today on The Cooligans.
Upgraded to first class on my flight to Salt Lake, which is really cool. But you know, when you you get upgraded, they put you on the first seat, which has like no leg room.
This is going to be very first world problem.
This is, yeah.
Everybody get ready.
No, don't worry about it, because you're going to hate me even more as this conversation continues. It's the one with no leg room. And I'm like, oh, bro, I got the wall in front of me. You know what I mean?
A good amount of space, though?
Nah, not this. Maybe this plane is a little bit small. It's the one that has like one seat on the left, two on the right, that kind of joint.
Got it.
But anyway, long story short, I got the wall. And it, sometimes there's like a little cutout at the bottom for your little footsie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your little feets. This ain't got that. I was kind of complaining about it. And then a woman walks up to me and she goes, is there any way you could switch seats with my husband? I'd like to sit next to my husband. And I go, does he have a window seat? Because I prefer a window seat. And she goes, no, it's an aisle. And I was like, oh. And then from behind her is this massive dog. Big, furry. It looks a lot like your dog, actually. But like, it's like a blondish color.
But like, but my dog is pretty small. So you're saying it's a very, very big dog.
Your dog's not small.
The dog is 23 pounds. It's a pretty small dog.
I mean, it's not like a bull mastiff. She doesn't have like Beethoven.
You just said it was a massive dog.
She doesn't have like a lap dog. Your dog's not a lap dog. Your dog's a big ass dog.
My dog is 23 pounds. It's not a big dog.
What, show me a photo. I don't know what 23 pounds means. I don't know what 23 pounds means. Last time I saw your dog jumped on me and the arms hit my chest. That's a big dog.
It's sure. I mean, my dog is not a small dog.
Your dog's not like the size of an English bulldog.
23. So. Usually, like dogs that are under 22 pounds, I think is small. And then 23 pounds is like, now you are immediately.
You're like a guy on a dating app of like 5'10 and a half. That's 20, basically 6'4.
23
foot.
And like to 55.
Show me a photo. I don't want to have this conversation about the weight. I just want to see if it's comparable. You have a picture of the dog standing next to you because I know how tall you
this
are.
This is next to Mateo.
No, your dog's too small. It's bigger than your dog. It's bigger.
So then, I would assume this dog's a massive dog.
Let's say this dog's like 32 to 35 pounds.
Okay.
But like height-wise, it's as skinny as your dog. By the way, your dog jumps pretty high. Now that I remember.
My dog is quite athletic.
Yeah. But like, it's like a big ass dog. No vest on it. No service animal vest. Mm. Just wearing a red bandana, just out here bloody.
But they're throwing up the dog.
I know, hey.
But the dog had its own seat?
No, she just got this big ass dog.
How's that allowed?
Huge dog, big dog, right? Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, what if I said no? This dog would have been laying where I already don't have enough leg room.
Right, right.
And now there's basically I'm in coach at this point. What was the upgrade for? So as soon as I saw the dog, I was like, I don't care where your husband's sitting. Let's swap. Mm. You know, yes, I want to sit. And as I go to the bathroom, this dog is completely laying across the whole thing, which was already kind of insane. And you know what else pissed me off? I was in the Amex lounge before. I told you were going to hate me even more.
Of course.
Yo, there was a lady with three babies. I don't know if they were like all hers. Maybe she had triplets. What are the case? Yo, they were crying.
Was child trafficking? Here's right?
I don't know what's going on. What? They were all the same. They all look the same. I think they're all from the same dad. But what I'm saying is she got three different babies. That's a lot of babies for one lady and a husband. They're all crying. Why are you doing this in the lounge? You're not allowed to be in the lounge if you have a kid. I'm sorry. They should have a playpen area. If you have a child, good for you. I'm happy for you. I hope you guys take beautiful Christmas photos. I hope everybody in the family's happy. I hope both of your titties are leaking a lot of milk and that the kids are all well fed. I hope the whole nine. Right?
How lovely. What beautiful. Look, Alexis loves.
Whatever. That's food. Yo, that's
just treasures motherhood so much.
Yeah, I'm happy for you. But yo, get out of. You're not allowed to be in regular society until the kids are stop crying. Gotcha. That's how I feel, right?
All right.
So now you're in the lounge. This is the Amex lounge, just jazz. music playing. Jazz music and crying babies never meet. Mm. I don't understand how. They just never meet unless it's there to calm the babies down. So that kind of weirded me out. I'm like, I'm very quickly trying to make a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what I mean? They have breakfast out.
Why would they disrupt that process?
They were already ruining my vibe. And
to
then
make your beautiful sandwich in the airport lounge.
Brings a mini pony onto the airplane.
Right.
And can I tell you the worst part of this? The guy gets up. Right? I'm sitting one row behind. He was in the row behind. Mm-hmm. A guy gets up and opens the overhead compartment. I'm thinking, this guy's getting a laptop or an iPad or something, or maybe a Nintendo Switch. You know what I mean?
He brings out another dog.
No, imagine a bigger dog. He inflates a bigger dog and puts it at my feet. I'm like, how the hell did you do that, dude? No, he opens up a Tupperware container, and the smell that comes out of it is, you know, salmon you left out. You know, right. For overnight.
Mm.
It's a disgusting smell. Guess what it is, Christian?
Salmon?
It's dog food, bro. He
ate dog food?
The guy ate dog food on my lap, dude. Why are you here, sir? This isn't your seat anymore. No, the guy gets out dog food, and he sees the look on my face.
Wasn't dry food.
No, this is what I'm saying. It was like...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know how to say it.
The food was farting. Yes. Yeah.
It was like that kind of, and I was just, and it was homemade. It was a homemade dog food, like natural dog food. And the guy sees the look on my face. I'm like, what the fuck is that smell? And he goes, oh, it's dog food. We make it for him at home. And I go,
damn.
And you're just going to open that on an airplane? And now we all have to smell it? And the lady next to me goes, she was Mormon, right?
Sure.
And she was the mom. She got upgraded on the flight. And she was very sweet, but I could tell from the look of her, like immediately, she doesn't talk the same way I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to have a very nice conversation with this woman, but we're not going to be like, I'm not going to be like, yo, what the fuck? This dog food. I immediately knew, like, I think I'm going to offend you if I open my mouth too much. So we had very niceties in the beginning. I'm like, oh, the lady asked if you want something to drink. And that was it, right? And I was like, and you're just going to open that so we all have to smell it? Because at this point now I'm annoyed, right? And the lady next to me goes, and I was just like, oh, I'm just my tone is probably I'm the Salt Lake City version of like a fight if just by my tone.
But, for the context, you were flying to or from Salt Lake.
This was to Salt Lake.
Salt Lake. Yeah. So
only got upgraded on the way there. How about this? I got a text 3 hours before my flight. I got a text. Your flight's been delayed 300 minutes. I'll show it to you, dude.
I believe you.
300 minutes. Have you ever? What? Where did you get that number
but
from?
But it's automated. It's just an automated
300
thing.
Minutes? Why is it delayed 300 minutes? And then he said, there's a problem with your plane, but we're trying to fix it. I said, I am switching flights.
Gotcha.
I don't need to be on your Bob the Builder flight.
I mean, he's a good contractor.
He knows what he's doing.
Okay. Well,
just no crying babies in the Delta Lounge or in the Amex Lounge, right?
You hate kids. You hate parents.
Yo, go to a different lounge. This should be a lounge just for kids. How about this? How about they should put the baby? You know how like the president and the vice president don't fly in the same Air Force One and Air Force Two,
right?
Just in case something happens, the other one survives.
Yes.
They should do that with babies and moms. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they'll be fine on their own and they won't cry.
What if
hold on,
you put your kid in daycare, you're not hovering in the window.
Oh, you says you want another flight with just nannies.
Yeah.
Nanny flight.
No, the flight attendants are what do you call the person who works at a daycare? Is there like a term for them?
Usually teachers.
You don't say babysitter or anything.
No, you would say it's more of a school, like a school teacher or something.
It's
like
not
that.
A school teacher. What is it? Oh, yeah, school teacher here. Put stewed peas in your mouth. That's not a school teacher. School teacher's like, did you do your homework? No, Alexis, you didn't. You're gonna get in trouble again.
Okay,
but whatever you call a child care service person, that's who's on the flight instead of a flight attendant. Cry as much as you want.
Interesting. Okay.
And then when I land, you pick up your baby. You pick up your baby at baby carriage number one. Babies coming out of the thing in baby seats.
Yes. You are
for
very
9 hours.
This is the almost a cliche, dink parents or dink people. The dual income, no kids. This is all they're about.
Let's go. The dinks and the sinks on their own flights.
complaining about. After now being.
Also, let's be honest. How great would it be as a dad to not have to deal with your child for like a 6-hour flight? Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
And you're going to get them back when you land.
You give them an iPad and they're pretty good. So
no, but I'm saying you don't even have to. You're responsible.
Build it.
Responsibility.
You know, the insurance alone would make this a venture impossible to.
Oh, no. You're paying out the wazoo for this luxury. Oh, no. It's not. I'm not paying for it. Insurance paid. But you're paying for it. You're paying for two flights.
All right. Well.
It's like a big dude. Got to pay for two seats. You got to pay for two flights.
All right. Look, that's it. Never bring any children around the Lexus. He hates them.
No, it's fine. I understand in some spaces children will be there, but A, not in the Amex lounge. And why are you allowed to have your big ass dog and no one say anything?
All right. Well, I'm glad we sorted that out. Everybody, let us know how you feel about Lexus's perspectives. All right. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are back. I was away. Alexis was away. Yeah. We're back together.
We traded away. We saw each other at the airport.
That's right.
You had bad luck, though. You got a little sicky on your time away.
I got a cold while I was away, but more reason to stay home, more reason to sleep. I got a lot of sleep. Caught up on sleep. They say
is that what you wanted?
You say you can't catch up on sleep. Oh, boy. I'll prove it. Yeah.
Yeah. I may not be able to catch up, but I'm a mustard it. I'm a relish in it.
Okay. So I did plenty of that. So hot show today.
Oh, he's back.
Now that we're back.
I'm
also excited for it. We're going to be joined a little bit later by Kaylin Kyle of MLS on Apple TV. A very MLS on Apple TV heavy show this week.
In studio,
we have Michele on Monday. Kaylin Kyle today. Well, obviously, Javier Mascherano leaving. And we'll try
That's
to figure
crazy.
Out.
By the way, on Monday, Don Garber's going to be here breakdancing. Crazy.
Man, have you ever seen Don Garber do a backflip?
Kick out waves, bro. And we're going to put a hairpiece on him from the Landon Donovan line of hairpieces. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, it's a new product
it's
venture.
It's a good venture,
announcing
bro.
It's a World Cup sponsor, Landon's hair.
Damn, if there's any missing squirrels in your neighborhood, now you know why.
With all due respect, Landon.
I forgot to mention.
I mean, we would never disrespect the leading goal scorer for the U.S. leading goal scorer for the U.S. men's national team. We're going to talk some Champions League. And Sophia Wilson is also here. Alexis spoke to her a couple days ago, and we'll talk to Sophia Wilson of the Portland Thorns as well. So, packed show.
Yeah, there's a lot. We're wedging in a lot. A
lot going on. But let's start today with Champions League because that was pretty insane this week.
Kylian Mbappe's got a small problem. Look, he's incredible when he puts on a France shirt, but for some reason, whatever club he's on doesn't win Champions League. And if you consider PSG, they won the year he left. That's not a good look. And now Real Madrid's been bumped out of this Champions League. So we have to ask the question, is Kylian Mbappe the problem?
This is the top topic.
My instinct is to say no,
right? I'm embarrassed. I even said that.
But the we've spoken about this quite a few times. Even when he got there, how are Vinicius Jr. and Mbappe gonna kind of play together?
Yeah, but a lot of that conversation went away because of how many goals he scored this season so far. He's been looking good.
I've mentioned this stat before. When Kylian Mbappe left PSG, his PSG's goal scoring average went up.
Yeah.
When Mbappe got to Real Madrid, Real Madrid's goal scoring average went down. Right. Even though
Mbappe, he good though.
He's good.
Yeah.
Wherever he goes, he's like, hey, it ain't me.
Wow. Maybe y'all should fix this.
I'm doing my thing. Yeah. So it's hard to look at a player that contributes as much as he does and say like that he is the problem per se, but there's things that are incalculable sometimes in the game that are
big word alert
that don't show up on the stat sheet. I'm not gonna say like, you know, we were at the Brazil versus France game and we went to the press conference with Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah.
And being in that room, there's a certain clearly like an aura, a confidence, a leadership that he kind of carries, you know.
Maybe that's the problem. And that's what I'm going to suggest. Remember when we went to Old Trafford and this is when Cristiano Ronaldo had his second stint at Manchester United.
Yeah.
What I noticed watching it live, which you sometimes can't really see on camera because the camera doesn't always follow the whole pitch. So you can't see the whole pitch, is how much people seem to, or the rest of the teammates seem to defer to Ronaldo. Mm-hmm. And it was a very much like, well, get him the ball. Hurry up, you know, as opposed to let me make the best possible decision. And of course, when you have a player like Cristiano Ronaldo, sometimes the best possible decision is to pass to Cristiano Ronaldo or to put him in a better position to score. Absolutely. But what I saw was a team that was even just slightly deterred from making the best possible decision because they had the thought of like, here's where an open player is, but also let me see where Ronaldo is. And that sometimes that half a second, that split second, is the difference between a good pass or a bad pass, or being in the right position or being out of position, or a defender closing in or whatnot. What I see when I see Real Madrid play is there's times where Mbappe kind of does his own thing, and it's not exactly where maybe he's running into the same positions that, you know, a Camavinga would be in, or maybe it's a Vinicius Jr. would be in, or someone else, and he's not necessarily playing team ball, if you will. And there's also the thought of like, well, let's get Mbappe the ball, unless it's Vinny, where Vinny's like, Vinny does what Vinny does. But, you know, there's other players who are like, let's get Mbappe the ball. He's Mbappe. He's going to do some great. And I think that that's maybe why what you see is, and what Luis Enrique, I think, was trying so hard to do when he was benching him in like the 28th minute, you know, and stuff like that, which is like to say like, yes, you're great. But if the whole team was great, you would shine even more. And it seems like, and it's maybe not, and I'm not saying this is Mbappe's fault. This feels like a, well, it's Mbappe. We got to get him the ball kind of a thing where like Mbappe is great, but that doesn't necessarily make the other 10 around him as great.
Well, and there were a couple of moments in the game. And I think this just highlights like the toxicity around Real Madrid right now. I mean, it's a very toxic club. I mean, from era to era, the Galacticos to everything like with Beckham and all the time like this, just always a lot of issues around the club. We're looking at the Opta Jose stat. It said Real Madrid have been eliminated in Champions League quarterfinals back-to-back seasons. They have failed to reach the semifinals as many times in the last two seasons as they did in the previous 14 editions combined between 2010-11 and 2013 and 2024. I think it highlights a pattern, especially this season. Look, Xabi Alonso getting rid of him.
We ain't even talking about the fact that he left this season. It feels like that was like 3 years
ago.
So
it's just like clearly there's issues, right? That are not going to be that they're trying to put band-aids on that, and they haven't sort of healed these wounds. And it's also on the pitch itself. There was a moment when Vinicius was on the left, Bellingham was making a late run, was asking for the ball. Vinicius didn't necessarily have like a clean pass to make. It would have been a very, very difficult pass because he had a defender on him. But Bellingham, frustrated, and says something, and the cameras catch Vinicius and you're like reading his lips, and he's saying like what was I supposed to, like, que lo que tu quieres que yo haga, or like, what do you want me to say? And then he hits him with the Brazilian caralho, you're right,
caralho, cha-cha-cha. You're like, how's he dancing?
So
right now?
and we saw this in when we were at Gillette Stadium with Vinicius. That like there's a clear like indecisiveness. There's a frustration I think some of his teammates might have. And look, Mbappe, I'm sure that relationship is not. I'm saying the playing relationship.
Yeah. Relationship on the pitch. Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
The chemistry is just like not there. And then there's, but again, the little argument with between Bellingham and Vinicius, like that's also not a good sign.
Yeah, but you know what? I almost don't mind players being frustrated from not getting a pass or whatever, because that just shows the interest is there is to win, right? So I'm not upset about that. What I do get upset is when I seen like Mbappe and Vinny running into the same channel. It's like, how have you guys not figured this out by now? You know what I mean? And I get that both of you, the problem with this is that both of you have the same natural instinct of wanting to be in the same space, but you've played with each other now for a long time, dog. Like, bro, you go central, you go left. And it's like, Vinny, you know, I feel like even if Vinny, and I don't want to blame Vinny because I don't think this is a Vinny problem, but I think Vinny's instinct, and you see it on the national team, Vinny's instinct is like, I think I could do something great right now. And that doesn't always blend with, here's what I'm being asked to do by my coach. You know what I mean? And here's what the game state sort of needs at the moment. But, you know, there's also, you know, the internet's full of people, you know, absolutely complaining about the fact that the game is all system now and there's no Mavericks. I just don't completely agree. Vinny is one of those Mavericks. So what you don't see in a highlight package for Vinny or in a highlight package for Mbappe, what you do see is incredible goals, incredible runs, incredible techs, you know, techie-ass moves. You see all that. What you don't see is the other 89 minutes where there may be frustration. Like, why are you running over here, dog.
It's hard.
Cherokee is the same way.
The standard is for Real Madrid is way too high. Like the,
and there's no major trophies. And I guess we could talk about whether Club World Cup before the expanded version is a major trophy. I don't think so.
Real Madrid collectively, yeah, have been, as far as the standard of like winning titles, winning Copa del Rey, winning the league. They are, what, 9 points out in La Liga. They're not, I mean, look, at some point, some issue has to be addressed. They thought it was the coach and that would turn things around. But it's, again, it's easy to blame Mbappe, but it's like, what? Who says no to Mbappe?
Yeah.
Similar to when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer talking on, I forgot what, the Neville podcast is either Stick to Football.
Yes.
Where he was when Ronaldo, the opportunity to bring Ronaldo back, got to his desk. He's like, how do we say no to Ronaldo?
Yeah,
like,
you say no to that?
It could be the wrong choice 10 out of 10 times, but you're like, how am I going to say no?
I'm going to say some real fat guy stuff right now.
Oh, can't wait.
Buck your seatbelts, everybody.
Okay.
Get
the seatbelt extension.
Yeah. Well, okay, not that fat. thank God. But have you ever had Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce?
I have not had Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue
sauce. It is a very good barbecue sauce, right?
Is it like at stores?
It's everywhere. Got it's a it. Very popular, very really now.
Never heard of it, but I'm glad to be introduced to
this. Okay, I'm going to just, we could cut this out if you want, but I refuse to let you to
Sweet
accept that.
Baby Ray's.
You've seen the bottle. I know that like your wife wouldn't allow this because it's covered in sugar, but you've seen this bottle before.
I cannot say I have. I've also not seen a tub of it. There's a tub.
There is a tub, by the way.
Speaking of,
guess how much that is. Tell you, it's 5 gallons. Can just guess how much this costs.
I mean, I'm hoping it's expensive, but I'm worried it's not. I don't know, $50?
$86.99.
So speaking of fat guy stuff,
look how many flavors they have now. But anyway, here's what the thing about Sweet Baby Ray's is the name tells you it's a very sweet barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
So it's good. Great for nuggets, great for fries. The problem is if you've ever even put, I was making like an American style picadillo, like a ground beef dish, and I put a tiny squeeze in it, and all you could taste was Sweet Baby Ray's. It's like if you have a dish that has foie gras and truffle and all this stuff, please don't add Sweet Baby Ray's to that. But if you have all these dishes, you're not really tasting anything. You're just getting a ton of these flavors.
Right.
Sweet Baby Ray's overpowers everything. None of that. Those things don't make the other ingredients in the dish worth even having in the dish
because
it overpowers everything. And that to me is what happens when you have a Vinny and an Mbappe on a field. Unless the team is built specifically around Mbappe, which is going to take a full restructuring. Real Madrid has Bellingham, Valverde, Vinny, Mbappe, Rodrigo, if he ever plays.
He's hurt, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a group of players that would be stars individually on any other team they were in. When you try to bring them all together, it doesn't always make sense. It's too many, like the Galacticos issue. I think that's the problem.
Look, I mean, I think the red card to Camavinga is just another example of that. He got sent off last season against Arsenal, pretty much the same thing, kicking the ball away. They were already out and they were already down 2-0 late in the game, but he kicks the ball away. Just a lack of focus, lack of concentration. This is such a dumb situation. And you can, there's a lot of, I've seen a lot of referees even chiming in on it on Instagram and people just giving their perspective.
You on referee talk?
I'm a referee talk, but even the referees kind of criticizing everybody criticizing the ref for giving that yellow, right? Because he already picked up a yellow and giving.
You usually let that slide.
You let it slide because of like the entertainment aspect.
Well, not just that. Now the ref is part of the game and you don't want to be the focus.
But Camavinga made himself the focus. He fouled Harry Kane. He goes to pick up the ball, goes to waste time. And the easy comparison is like if he was playing in La Liga, the ref is like, all right, well, it's Real Madrid. Let's not ruffle any feathers here. I don't want to be the story.
I want to keep getting my check, allegedly.
The referee gives him the yellow and turns around, forgetting that he gave him a yellow just a few minutes earlier, which is like, that's the part on the referee. I'm like, only the referee knows, right? But based on his his movements and everything, he didn't know that he was already on a yellow. And as soon as he turns around, all the Bayern Munich players are like, you gave him a yellow, you gotta give him a red. He's like, oh yeah, all right. And now he's like, oh, well, I can't look bad. So I obviously gotta give this red. It's the right call. I'm not arguing
that.
Can I just
say this? And this is why I think it proves Kamavinga, in a way, lost his head in the ref. Maybe shouldn't have, or should have had an understanding of where the state of the game was. Bayern were the better team.
Yeah.
To me, at the end of the day, Bayern were the better team. Does it remove the opportunity for Real Madrid to potentially come back? Sure, absolutely. Especially the way that the game was going back and forth. I think we could all sit here and agree Bayern was the better team. I'm excited to see Bayern move forward because they're playing at an extremely high level. And it also poo-poos everyone who was like, oh, you're going to hire a guy who got relegated from the Premier League? Goes to show. That's not necessarily the end all be all. This guy is Vincent Kompany is absolutely doing an incredible job.
Yeah, Vincent Kompany like just shows there's like a certain leadership that I think he's really coming to like into himself.
Yeah,
he was asked in a press conference in the post match. He was asked about the game like it's just one of the greatest like games you've ever been a part of, and he's like, no. One of the greatest moments in my managerial career was at Burnley when we beat Blackburn. And he's like, the scenes around. I'm like, what? Like, my man is like, nah, bro, this ain't nothing, right?
Can we remind you where you are?
Yeah. He's like, that the vibes after that game were just remarkable.
You boys ever been to Blackburn?
So, and even credit to him. I love the statements. We haven't talked about it, but the new coach for Union Berlin, the woman coach that she's the interim right now. That and even his comments about that just really highlighting like this is a big deal. Like it's not something that
it should
just,
be. Yeah, it should be celebrated.
There's a instinct of we're being like, oh, okay, well it's 2026. This should happen. But he's like, oh, you know what? We should take a moment to really talk about how that you know, for a woman to be leading a men's team in top five European leagues, like that's a huge milestone.
He's like, I can't wait to beat the brakes off her club. Yeah,
I thought, well, you got to do that.
And then like, you got to finish it.
We competitors at the end. But the fact that what he's doing with this team, and it's easy to like diminish a little bit since it's in Bundesliga, and then
he's proving it in Champions League.
He's proving it in Champions League. And it kind of goes to our next conversation about Harry Kane, because after this game, the Ballon d'Or conversations changed immediately.
Yeah.
Harry Kane now seemingly is the front runner for Ballon d'Or. And it's fascinating to me only because he would have never been in consideration at Tottenham.
No,
because no matter what he did, the team is just
what do they call the guy who scores the most in the championship? Is there a word for anyway? I think the conversation around Harry Kane being right now the front runner for Ballon d'Or, there still feels, and I'm not saying this is from us, but it still feels that in general there is an asterisk on goals you scored in Bundesliga. So if the main topic is, if your main accomplishment is how many goals, and I think he's what, over 50, and the next person's like double digits away from him, which incredible. I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm saying the conversation generally in the world of football is, yeah, but he's playing at Bayern. So because of how easy of a time they tend to have in their own league, because they're Bayern, there is an asterisk. So I think, yes, Harry Kane very well deserves to be right now at the top of the list of people for Ballon d'Or. But the way you remain on that list is by doing it with your national team.
Sure.
You have to, you almost have to win Champions League because we know you're going to win Bundesliga, and you have to show out in the World Cup. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to win the World Cup. You have to get fairly far, but you have to be one of the top goal scorers, if not the top goal scorer in the World Cup. For me to sit there and say, yes, the Bundesliga goals equate across the board. And it's not just me, obviously. There's a lot of people. But I don't know that we did the same thing with Dembele, because obviously he looks so good on his national team. And I don't think we've done the same thing for previous winners. But for me, Harry Kane needs something more than, we know you can score goals, and it still wasn't enough. If it wasn't enough for Erling Haaland because he didn't do it with his national team, it shouldn't be enough for you at Bayern.
That's fair. I don't want to discredit Bundesliga goals too much. I mean, I think he's probably going to break Robert Lewandowski's Bundesliga goal scoring record pretty soon.
Fine, because Robert Lewandowski is going to play till he's like 65.
But right now, look, sitting on 50 goals, 7 assists in 47 matches. I mean, this is a spectacular season. And sometimes I do watch Harry Kane in not even just playing for Bayern, but playing in Bundesliga, and I'm like, Bro, you're better than this. Like, I mean, there was that highlight a couple months ago of him dribbling out of the back, like through yeah. like playing almost as like a center back. Like, I mean, he has a level of freedom in the Bundesliga that he couldn't even dream of.
That is Vincent Kompany's system.
Yeah, in the Premier League. But no, he is a fantastic player. And if he can possibly win Champions League. I mean, for a Ballon d'Or or not, I mean, I think he has to win Champions League.
If he wins Champions League, it raises the credibility of Bundesliga goals. Because it says, like, Bayern could do it against anybody.
I don't think that's relevant, but I understand. But if you were a voter, maybe that would...
You don't think that's relevant?
I don't think necessarily winning the Champions League raises the level of every other Bundesliga goal for the entire league.
I think it raises the validity, of his goals in Bundesliga. I mean, because you say now it's not just, being on a team better than everyone else.
I mean, like, I watch St. Pauli pretty much every week. James Sands is injured, but that's really why I was watching. And I'm watching these games. I'm like, the bottom 5-6 Bundesliga teams, they don't even understand what scoring a goal looks like, bro. It's not respectfully.
Also, I'll say respectfully as well. La Liga ain't got that. The only league that is the Premier League.
It at least looks prettier. The not scoring goals looks a little prettier in La Liga.
I don't know. I mean, if you play for Barca or Real Madrid or even Atleti, you're having a pretty fun time in some of those matches. You know what I mean?
This is a... Look, I still think Olise has a really good opportunity as well.
It's crazy that the two front runners are on Bayern Munich, and I think it all comes down to what happens in the World Cup.
Yeah, because the national team, as far as like who has a better opportunity,
if you were putting your life savings, I think you'd pick France over England.
Olise has 12 goals, 18 assists, I think he's
about
potentially
to break the record,
and the goal he scored yesterday was just...
It's incredible.
It's just so... It's absolutely beautiful.
So look at this. Opta Joe says, this is Harry Kane, 50. Most goals in all competitions for big five European League teams this season. Harry Kane has 50 and 42 appearances. Kylian Mbappe, 40 and 39 appearances. Erling Haaland, 33 and 45. That's 10 more than the second place, who happens to be Kylian Mbappe.
Right. This is a player that, it's on a legendary run. I mean, without a doubt. We can do the, but it's Bundesliga kind of stuff, but it's other people in Bundesliga can't do this.
Here's what
right?
I'll say. If you found out I beat up 50 people, and then when you searched it, you found out there were 7-year-olds, you'd be like, all right.
Honestly.
Yo, great fighter, but I don't think you hold up.
I'll put it to wax right now. You ain't beating up 57-year-olds.
Not at once. But yo, you give me some time between.
An octagon 50 times, undefeated.
If a bell rings and a door opens and another 7-year-old runs
out here like LeVar Ball, never lost.
Also, check this out. What's the fifth or sixth one going to see? All his homies on the floor. You know what I mean? So I think after that, it's more of an optics thing that I'm going to win.
Right, right.
And if you're crying in the corner, you're still getting duffed up. You know what I mean?
So we'll see. I mean, these Champions League results, I think, change the conversation.
It's getting tighter in the Champions League. And we have to figure out, who's going to win. I'm an Arsenal fan. So I want to say Arsenal is still in the lead as a favorite. It's not looking great right now, but I still have to... I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. I want to say across the season, and look, if Arsenal, who have beaten Bayern already and have looked great doing it, if they have done that in the past, they can get back to that form, especially when you got springtime Eze. Eberechi Eze in the spring, he flourishes, baby.
Does something, okay.
Springtime, baby. You know that's his moment,
is
bro.
He ovulating?
Oh my God. Best of luck, Eze. Okay. All right.
Good for him. Okay. I think it's a...
You know the stat, right? That Eberechi Eze in the springtime just always...
I do not know this stat.
Oh, yeah. If you look across the past seasons, we don't have it. I don't think
the Yahoo graphics team prepared one for spring Eze. But apologies.
But if you look at across the seasons, he always overperforms in the spring versus...
Okay.
In the
I thought he looked decent in the game against Sporting, but...
Yeah, we going to be all right, baby.
But
trust me.
It is, we're looking.
It's not just me. Opta also believes in me. Check this out. Arsenal at 37, and they got Bayern Munich listed at 35.
I mean, but Arsenal, Atletico, I mean, everybody's making the kind of the same joke, but it is the haram ball derby. I mean, it's going to be.
Bro, I'm going to get on the floor and point towards Mikel Arteta's house 5 times a day.
Nobody taking any risk. I have to favor just because of the attacking edge that Arsenal have, even though, you know, Julian Alvarez, there's a couple of decent players. I wouldn't be surprised if Atletico can figure it out and get it done, but I think it'll be just a little too difficult to score. I mean, Atletico is usually known as the highly defensive team, but I think Arsenal are a better highly defensive team now.
I think the eye test, and I know people get annoyed when I bring up XG, but if the eye test says a lot about Arsenal, and I'm as frustrated as any other Arsenal fan, but if you look at the way they've been building in the final third, their XG is all pointing in the right direction. They continue to go up, even though they haven't been scoring those goals. So it seems like something will give at some point.
Yeah. So I think Arsenal will get to the final. And my favorite remaining, especially because they, you know, we just saw, some incredible matches. I think Bayern gets to the final. I think they could also, since they've already seen Arsenal, I think they could probably figure it out. I mean, they just look fantastic against Real Madrid. So I think that is the final, Arsenal against Bayern. I could see Bayern getting it done. I think it might be
tough. What I hate is that
it's
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah, an old Arsenal foe.
That's always the threat, but they're my favorite right now.
PSG.
I think it's very close. I honestly don't think Arsenal want to face PSG if they get past that. I think the better opponent for them would be Bayern. So
I don't know.
Okay.
Joining us now on behalf of Mondelez International, the maker of snacks like Ritz crackers, Chips Ahoy, my personal favorite, and is also the U.S. Women's National Team star, NWSL superstar, new mom, ladies and gentlemen, one of my favorite people in the game, Sophia Wilson, everybody!
I love the claps.
Yeah, that's our audience. It definitely wasn't the button I just pressed.
No.
I guess my first question is this partnership with Mondelez and Chips Ahoy, how did this come about?
Yeah, I mean, I am very excited to partner with Mondelez International. I think it's very nostalgic for me because I remember growing up, obviously, soccer was fun, but the best part was the halftime snacks, the post-game snacks. And I remember Chips Ahoy being like the most just popular. That's what everyone would run to go get after games. And I was one of those people. So I think just it feels full circle partnering with them and being able to highlight, you know, the snacks that played a big part of my childhood and I still eat to this day. So it's exciting partnering with them.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm a big fan as well. One of my favorite collabs they've ever done is Chips Ahoy and Milk. That's one of my... I go to that collab a lot. Let's talk a little bit about you because you had a sort of a whirlwind last 2 years. You're out all of last season, right? Right, 2025 for you was sort of, being pregnant and all of that. Now 27, 28 weeks, I believe, post-pregnancy. What?
Oh, man, weeks are hard for me. 7 months.
You're going to have to learn how to do this because I think parents... When you ask a parent, like, oh, how old's your baby? They're like, it's 1,348 weeks. And you're like, you want me to do the math now?
No, I'm not one of those people. Months until we're in the years. Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's overcomplicating.
Baby Gigi, if I'm not mistaken. Correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. How is this sort of, I mean, a lot has changed for you, right? You're going back to Portland Thorns, back to your old team. But everything, and I'm sure the locker room is very different than the last time you were there. And now you're also a mom. I guess talk about that change going back into a locker room, but now being a mom.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very fortunate. I've had teammates who have gone through the same thing before me, who I've gotten to learn from and kind of see firsthand go through the process and what it looks like. But I have such an amazing support system. All my teammates have been amazing. I mean, they're all just... the best aunties to Gigi. She's so lucky. She feels so loved every time, you know, we come in that environment and around all my teammates, we just feel just like it's a big family. So I feel really fortunate to be in such a loving environment.
Very cool. How has it changed your mindset? I have no children, but my co-host Christian has a child, and he talks all the time about how every little decision you make is now so different because you have this child. Yeah. Has that changed the way you look at the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed my whole life in the best ways. Like you said, you can't just make decisions quickly anymore. Like, you have to put, you know, your child into, you know, front row when you make decisions, because she is the most important thing to me. And I think my perspective has changed in so many ways. I feel like I'm trying to be more present in everything that I do, because everything just seems like it goes so fast when you have a child. Like, they just grow so fast. So I think being more present with her, and also being more present with myself and in my career and with soccer as well. So I think just learning to just take it one day at a time and enjoy where I'm at, both on and off the field.
I know athletes, especially professional athletes, sometimes will use, I think Kevin Garnett is famous for this. Like, he thought he would pretend that somebody hated him, but he would really believe it to sort of inspire him. That extra bit of spite would make him a better player and more driven. Do you have that? Do you have that? Like, yo, Gigi said she wanted me to score 2 goals today. You know what I mean?
For sure. I mean, people will joke and be like, so if you need to score for Gigi, or do this for Gigi. And it's all jokes. But deep down, I do feel a sense of responsibility to show Gigi what I can do and just make her proud of me. But I always had that within me even before having a child. I think I always just want to prove people wrong. But it's a little bit extra now, because I obviously want to do it for Gigi.
You mentioned something in an interview not too long ago about how when you go home, it's like a no soccer zone. It's like a soccer free mm-hmm. space.
Yeah.
That little bit of breakaway from the game, you know, as a comedian, I sometimes just want to be fully invested in whatever's happening in comedy, right? Jokes never stop coming out of my mouth. My wife would wish they would. I've been kicked out of funerals before. It's a long story. I'm not going to bore you with it, but sometimes I feel like I have to be in it at all times in order for mm-hmm. me to sort of keep that mindset. That little bit of breakaway, did you always have that? Is that something you've had from the beginning? Is that something new?
No, it's not anything new. I think I learned quickly when I became a professional that you had to have a balance. Otherwise, it's not sustainable for myself personally to always 24/7 be in the zone and be, you know, focused on soccer. I perform my best when I'm calm and in a peaceful headspace. And I think the best way for me to have that is to know when to shut it off. So for years now, when I come home, like, it's like I leave soccer at the stadium or at the practice facility, and I come home and I'm just so not the soccer player. And my home is very peaceful. Like, if someone walked in, you wouldn't think a soccer player lived there. And I like it that way, because I feel like it's my safe space. It's my space to just kind of shut off. And now it's my space to be a mom and fill it with toys and colorful things and just give Gigi the best place to be.
That's crazy, because if I played like you, I would have highlights on every television. I'm like, yo, that's crazy. You saw when I did that? That was the NWSL championship right there. One of my favorite things about you is, like, in interviews that I've heard and now getting a chance to speak with you, and I think we met personally before a few years ago, you carry yourself with, like, a very calm, very placid mentality. You know what I mean? You just seem like you're always chill. Even your goal celebration with the shrug, you know what I mean? Like, is that just you? Is that a zone you put yourself in? Are you namasteing before the game, you know?
It's really honestly just me. I'm a very chill, low-key type of person. I think most people who know me would say that. I obviously have a side to me that can be a little more sassy, you know, yeah, attitude a little bit if it comes out. But I'm a very calm and peaceful person. And my life, like, mantra is protect your peace. I think just being able to navigate this crazy world we live in and be able to remain peaceful within yourself and your life is an important thing to do. I think it keeps us all sane. So I definitely try my best to do that.
Well, then I got to know, there's got to be something. What gets you hype? What turns the meter up on the Sophia Wilson meter? What gets you to 10? Is there a song? Is there a situation? Is it getting, is it maybe getting elbowed when the ref ain't looking? What gets you hype?
Not a lot. It's definitely not a song. It's not music. I would say, like, within a game, if, you know, things are going a certain way or a defender is kind of making me mad. I don't know. Just little things like that kind of deep down get me a little bit, like...
Just start to tick that meter up a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
All right. We won't ask hubby what happens. I'm sure he's got other answers.
he probably has a better answer than I do. Honestly.
Absolutely. I want to ask you about, like, you know, the NWSL, you staying in Portland. There seems to be so many positive things happening. Recently, there's a lot of changes as well. The hip rule came out. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think athletes, female athletes, are starting to get paid what they deserve. I think we're still very far from what it should be, but I do think there's been progress made. However that looks is a different conversation, but I think it's positive that, you know, the numbers that players are getting paid are growing. I guess that's what I would say about that.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad that it's finally happening. WNBA has made some major changes. NWSL is on its way. I can't wait to see it. We've been talking about women's sports on this show for 10 years. So it's a beautiful thing to be able to talk about that now, as opposed to they should get paid more, you know, and we won't stop until you do. Talk to me one last time. Chips Ahoy. Why Chips Ahoy? What specifically about you made you want to partner with Chips Ahoy?
I just think Mondelez in general is an amazing brand. There's so many brands within the brand that I think just resonate with me. And like I said, it's very nostalgic. And now having a child, I already know that Gigi's going to be wanting the Chips Ahoy all the time as a treat. But it's just, it's a great brand. I only really partner with brands that I feel I connect with for whatever reason. And I think this is one that just is something that I grew up enjoying, my family and my teammates when we were little. So I think it just, it was right to partner with them. And I'm excited for the summer of soccer and just the new flavors coming out. There's a new Chewy Dulce de Leche cookie.
Okay, as a Latino, I'm ready
that
for
is
it.
My there you go. That is my personal favorite. And I'm really excited for that. And I'm excited for everyone to be able to enjoy the snacks while watching a lot of soccer this summer.
Very cool. Well, send us some dulce de leche, bro. We need it, bro. I mean, this is the place for it. And by the way, low-key, great snack, Ritz cracker inside a strawberry yogurt. I don't know how I did it one day.
Oh.
No, it's absolutely, it's goated. It's so great.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, thank you. Come on now. Always ask a fat guy for snacks. snack ideas. Sophia Wilson, it was an absolute honor having you on. Best of luck with your NWSL season. And I can't wait to see you scoring against everybody but Gotham. Huh? Come on.
Oh, especially Gotham.
You know what? They're going to put that on the bulletin board now that you said it. We'll put all your socials and stuff up, but thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Javier Mascherano won MLS Cup 4 months ago, and on Monday, he just quit. No explanation, just personal reasons. The last coach, Tata Martino, also left for personal reasons. Is this a pattern? Is this a coincidence? Or is Inter Miami just a difficult club to manage for any coach? We are with Kaylin Kyle of MLS on Apple TV to answer that question. So I'm tossing it right back to you.
Yeah.
First question.
You know better than us.
All right. A little bit of fire.
What happened?
It's a difficult one because you look at Tata Martino when he was with Inter Miami. I mean, he set the best single season points record in MLS history, right? Leaves on personal terms. Then you have Javier Mascherano that wins an MLS Cup in brilliant fashion. He leaves on personal terms. So there's obviously something going on behind the scenes. Now, what I will say is you guys both know I've worked with Inter Miami. That's where I started here in Major League Soccer. Mm-hmm. And I know Jorge Mas. I know David Beckham. And honestly, they're some of the best owners here in Major League Soccer. So you know that they have a plan. You know that the next manager that's coming in is going to be able to manage this team. It's arguably one of the most sought after jobs, I would say, in Major League Soccer. They have a new unbelievable stadium. They have the world's best player of Lionel Messi. But my one cause for concern is, again, I'm not Messi. I'm nowhere near Messi, okay? Let's just put that out
just
there.
Clarify
that.
Some people thought you might. Just that, you know,
what if we change the I to a Y? Would you still agree?
I would never slate one of the world's best. He's the world's best player. And, you know, you can have the arguments who's the best Argentine to come out of there. So I would never want a player to be bigger than the team, because that's when problems do start coming into a team setting. Again, it's very different, the teams that I played on, than what Messi's played on. Again, I'm not Messi, but I have been on a team where if you have a player that is bigger than the club, problems start to seep in and you start to see that. So that's my only concern. Now, David Beckham, you know, he's built his brand. He's built Major League Soccer. He's built, you know, coming from the Galaxy to Inter Miami into one of the most sought after places to play in Major League Soccer. So I'm not concerned in that aspect of it, but I am concerned of what happens now. How does the team bounce back after, from talking to a lot of the players, they loved Javier Mascherano. He was a great coach. He was a good man manager coach, but he was also a good tactician. And we saw that in the later part of the season last year.
Yeah.
I mean, the question that has to be asked, like, what's I feel bad that I'm asking you this because people might
no,
say
you don't.
People might say in the past it's you. But what's the toxic part of this Inter Miami gig? Because you would assume Tata Martino handpicked by Messi, right? Mm-hmm. Or at the very least approved of by Messi, because he's handpicked them before at other clubs. Mascherano, someone who has a great relationship with Messi, at the very least you think Messi said, "Yeah, I'd love that." At the very least. But both of them ended in a weird way. Who's to say the next one's not going to end? Where's the hiccup? Where's the misstep here with club that on the outside looking in seems to have everything figured out?
Well, yeah, on the outside looking in, you do have it figured out. You go, you win a League's Cup, you win the Supporter Shields, you have a player that's gone back-to-back seasons and winning league MVP. So on paper, you're thinking there's no hiccups in this team. So it's hard to kind of put a black cloud over this team because they have had so much success in their short starts to Major League Soccer and their tenure to Major League Soccer. They're playing in a, you know, for me, it was a great stadium when I was there. It was Chase Stadium. Now that temporary stadium, they finally have this new stadium. And for me, again, I love the New York Red Bull Stadium. It just reminds me of a European night under the lights of a Champions League. It's just that football feeling. I haven't been to the new Freedom to Dream Park yet, but on TV, it looked magical. So
it does look great.
I don't want to get into the weeds of he said, she said, because I've been a girl in high school before. That gets real messy real quick. I just know that David Beckham, Jorge Mas are some of the best managers, some of the best ownership here in Major League Soccer, and they put their money where their mouth's in. They promised us bringing the world's best players. They've done that. They told us they'd bring in some of the best coaches. They've proven that. So now I'm really interested to see who takes this next job, because as we've seen with the past two coaches, it's not an easy job to take.
Right. Yeah. You know, I always think about, you know how, I don't know if you ever see this comment like on TikTok or on Instagram, when you watch a video of like somebody at home, somebody doing something weird, or somebody's family doing something weird. And the comment is usually, you never know what people are doing in their own homes.
Yeah.
That's sort of like, we may never know what's going on. It's sort of like behind the scenes, but like it's going to lead to kind of this drama. You know, it
feels like the most high pressure job in MLS.
100%.
Yeah, because you almost have to win.
Yeah, it's strange. Seemingly it's like clearly not a fun job. That's the best. It's a high pressure. I mean, but that's looking at it from.
What's the most fun job in MLS?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know,
LAFC.
Probably.
Right now, maybe.
Yeah. But taco trucks alone. I don't know what you guys are thinking about.
I know I work for the league, so you guys are going to be like, oh, it's a hype woman. But I will say this is a good thing for Major League Soccer. We've screamed out over the past two decades that it was the retirement league for a lot of these teams. And now we're starting to see managers that if you're not able to get get five results in the road, you're gone. We saw the turnover of managers last season. Yeah. And I think that's exciting. You know, you look at Commissioner Don Garber, he's come in. And when he first came in, I think it was 10 teams. And he came in and completely transformed this league. Now it's the second highest attendance record globally. You look at, I think it's $11 billion invested into soccer-specific stadium and training grounds. Like, that's incredible to think that Major League Soccer's only been here for 3 decades, and we've already transformed it. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. No, Stop looking at me like that.
We side with you.
Look at you with New York City coming in. Yeah. That will be one of the best soccer stadiums here in Major League Soccer.
Possibly and the world. It looks amazing.
It looks phenomenal. And for someone that's a mom of two kids that, you know, every time they bring home class projects, it's like, I want to be a professional soccer player. Like, if you would have said this to me if I was lived in America 20 years ago, I'd have been like, find a new sport, love. Like, that ain't going to pay your bills. It's crazy to think. You look at 1994 with the World Cup here. Again, you guys have been in America a lot longer than me, and I'm not aging you guys. You guys are aging like a fine wine.
We're both 22 years
old.
Yeah,
that's
just
what
look
I
like
thought.
Garbage.
I thought it was like 20.
We're very stressed.
It's that New York lack of sun with the building.
I live on a subway. So. Sandwich shop, by the way.
But look at how much soccer has transformed since that World Cup and the Women's World Cup in 99. Like, it is incredible to see here, and it's phenomenal to see the transformation. And it's going to be, I know that with the World Cup here being in three host cities of, or not host cities, host nations of Mexico, Canada, and the U.S., I can't freaking wait. Like, I genuinely cannot wait for my kids to fall more in love with the game, because that's how I fell in love with the game with the 20, or when was it? Back in 2009, the World Championship in Edmonton, Alberta. Like,
there we go.
That is CFL country.
We were all there.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
I was just like, yo, Alberta.
Do you know where that is?
100%.
Oh, you do?
In Canada. That's crazy.
It is.
I didn't know that.
It is north of us. What is she talking about?
Bananas, though.
Yeah, I didn't know she was going to be quizzing us.
Wow, no. Don't pull up a map, because I'm going to pull every plug out.
Yeah, let's not pull up maps, because my geography is terrible here.
I believe
in the
Alberta
US.
Is above somewhere around like Minnesota, North Dakota area.
Saskatchewan's like North Dakota, South Dakota. Yeah.
Oh my, I summer there.
Go to the right.
We call it the catch. We don't do the whole word.
I mean, we don't want to make it.
Yeah, those of us who frequent.
But no, even, you mentioned these things, and it is, even for us, like our show started in 2015. Where was MLS in 2015? I mean, the fact that we're in this studio, we've sort of like,
this is amazing, by the way.
Yeah, no.
I also have a bone to pick, real quick.
Okay, hold on.
Why did it take so long to have your favorite not on your show? You've had Kevin, Mikel Giannone, Bradley Wright Phillips, Dax McCarty. I think he was on here.
He didn't come to the studio. But you
zoomed him
in. We refused to allow him in here. He played for the Rebels.
So what's going on with that? I'd like to know.
So that's an interesting question. Yeah. I mean, it's...
Why are you looking at me, Christian? I don't... That's crazy.
Schedules and...
Interesting.
Okay. That's a
next
good one.
Next bone pick with you, Instagram. Oh, I'm pulling up receipts here.
What did I do on Instagram?
People to follow that know their about Major League Soccer. Guess where I was?
Where?
Not on it.
Whoa.
It went. David Goss, by the way.
Did I put this up?
Yes. Go back through your DMs.
I don't even remember this. This is crazy.
It was David Goss. It was Armchair Analyst, which Matt Doyle, love you as well. Deserve to be on there. .. Nothing. And I went, wow, interesting.
Wait, hold on. That was a joke. Who was last?
Not us.
No, there was somebody at the bottom who was last. Yeah. That was supposed to be a joke.
Maybe Michele Giannone.
No. That was supposed to be a joke.
It wasn't.
There was bold dudes to follow.
Okay.
That's why.
I missed that part.
Take your wig off and let me see the bald head.
Where's Bradley Wright Phillips then?
That's a good point.
I think it was bold dudes with beards.
Got it.
What was the point of that bit?
It was making fun of bald people.
Yeah, I know that. Oh, Thierry Henry, because I got fired from CBS for making fun of Thierry Henry. That's why.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
That's why.
So that had nothing to do with you.
Okay,
that's
I was making fun of myself.
Right. I feel way better about it now.
Now I need to move to Saskatchewan.
Honestly, you do not want to be on that list, right?
What I do like about you, though, is although you're Canadian, you lived in Jersey long enough to now have this attitude. And I love that.
I'm a Jersey girl through and through.
You said you love it.
I love Jersey. People are like very black and white there. Mm-hmm. No bull crap. Like,
you can say bull.
Oh, can I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, well, I got my Major League Soccer right behind the cameras here. Right. Also, so I'm like,
You literally can't because our producer Carter will bleep it.
Sorry, so Carter.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, Carter, you're going to have your work cut out for you.
I've been cursing up the storm without even knowing I'm not supposed to.
That's why no one can understand your shows. It's just beep, 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 beep.
No, yeah, now
I'm Jersey. I love it.
I mean, obviously, the studio now is in Stanford.
It's incredible.
You're in Jersey. What's this, the transition been like for you? Because
you went Miami. Canada, Miami, no, Jersey?
No. So basically I moved around. I was like the military kid, but for NWSL. Like I went to every single team that there was and then landed in Orlando, met my now husband, Harrison.
Yes.
Went to Atlanta, Minnesota, then Miami. And then Major League Soccer was like, make the move. And I said, say less. So I remember calling my agent and I was like, the studio in year one was in New York. And he was like, do you want to live in New York? I'm like, I'm from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. No. Like, I have two small kids. Like, there's no playground. Like, I didn't know anything about New York. Sure, I was so naive.
You would need bunk beds.
Like,
and that's just for you and your husband in the living room.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he's already on the other bunk bed, so it's fine. And so he was like, I have a family. They have a home in New Jersey. Do you want to rent it from them? And I was like, all I care about is a good, like, good school system for my kids. And I moved, and I'm like, this place is so for me.
Yeah.
Like, people are awesome. Food is great.
You're like, where's the bagel? The bagels.
I need to be around a good cutlet.
Yeah. I really thought that bagels were better in New Jersey until I had a bagel at my hair salon in New York.
Yeah.
Game changer.
We're going to have to get bagel, not bagel.
Well, Vegas bagel bag. Yeah, no, that's just Canadian in me.
Yeah, by the way, that's not, you
can't
don't have
fun
a choice.
Of my accent. Jesus.
You don't have a choice because the Jersey will just infiltrate the way you speak.
Oh my God.
You're going to go
so
back
good.
Home and your family's going to be like, why do you sound like a real housewife?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm okay. Yeah. Hey,
you kind of already look like one.
Shout out to the Real Housewives. I love it. Yeah. Beverly Hills, that's what I watch.
Style
I love
icons
it.
For
I'm
Kaylin
into Rhode
Kyle.
Island now. That's a new one that just came out.
Which we'll go. When you look at sort of the landscape of where MLS is right now, the fact that there is even drama that we're talking about. Do you agree with us that that's a good thing for the game? That's a good thing for this league?
We need more villains in this league.
Yes.
Like, everyone's always like, they talk about us and we're, oh, you're just like messy hype. All you guys talk about is messy hype. Well, yeah, do something, show up, and then we can talk about you. Like, I love it. Like, I love villains in this league. You saw it with Zlatan when he came. You saw it with David Beckham when he came. Like, we need more of that. Like, we need more of the on-field, off-field stuff, the admins going back and forth, because it's what makes this league interesting, and it shows the growth that it's growing in the right direction.
Can I add to this? And maybe maybe a bone to pick.
Oh!
Not necessarily with you.
The tables have turned.
But maybe also,
I wore white today, so you can't see me sweating, so we're good.
But also maybe Major League Soccer. Uh-huh. I mean, I understand there were changes and to the broadcast and stuff like that, but MLS wrap up.
Yeah. We need that, bro.
Huge
what's going
fan
on?
Of the show, and I'm not asking you to yell at your bosses right now or anything like that. I'm not
one of them
get...
might be in the room.
Yeah.
So maybe
shout
we're
out
using,
to Trina.
Yeah, maybe we're projecting.
Not trying to
that.
Get anybody in trouble, but to the aspect about either needing villains or those stories, those talking points. Wrap up was a great opportunity to compile all that together, and then even if you know. BWP or Sasha or you.
They can pontificate.
Mm-hmm. They could give their points. It felt very much like, you know, match of the day in England and stuff like that. But there will be moments of like, oh, I can't believe Sasha said that. Yeah. I can't believe BWP said that. I can't believe Kaylin said that. People get mad at you all the time.
No one say that about me.
Yeah.
No one says that about me.
But that part of the discourse is really fun. So that's what I'm trying to bring back. Yeah. I think a wrap up should exist as a chat show.
We don't care about Kevin Egan reading over highlights. We need y'all in a room together.
We need y'all yelling at each other.
At least a Zoom call. Could y'all FaceTime each other and let me see this?
We would love that as well. We're trying to grow, right? There's so many different things that is happening with the league, with the World Cup, with these players going to the World Cup. We want to highlight it, obviously. But as almost like a new little baby, a new little child, you're trying to grow and you're trying to maneuver with it. Year one, we took a lot of stuff on board. Do you guys remember when basically we stood for the whole entire MLS 360 at the board and people were like, we don't want to see the back of your
one
head.
Of my favorite things is y'all figuring out what to do with your feet. Yeah. I didn't know what to do with your feet.
It was my hands.
But in those heels?
Yeah.
It's not fair for you compared to...
Are you kidding me? I could walk New York City in heels. Like, I got the heels on now, baby.
Your toes
gotta
be crying.
No. Well, I got those soccer feet. so no one wants to see them anyways. They're like crinkled up like this.
No open toe.
Her
foot's in a fist 24/7.
They're good looking feet. I won't be starting OnlyFans for feet, but
you got multiple angles to get the toes.
Got
in.
Multiple ways that they're going. But yeah, we're trying to figure out what works, right? And I think one positive with Major League Soccer is we're willing to grow and we're willing to take things on board from what fans are saying, from the general public as well. I mean, it took us a while to get on the European schedule, but we're finally doing that.
Right,
2027 will be the rollout of that, which is exciting, which means better transfers for teams, better, you know, if a player goes down injured, we're on the same schedule as European football for transfers, A, but also for international breaks. Because how frustrating was it for your team when you're missing two or three of your players that are out with international duty, and then you're going up against LAFC, which, you know what I mean? So there's positive, there's negatives. We're working on it. We're making the best of it. Yeah. And I will say, tune into 360 because that's where the heat, I mean,
it's fantastic.
Me and Sasha are like an old married couple that like works, but you're just like, why did we get married? You know what I mean?
Sure. Sasha has the I'm over it attitude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Arrogant attitude love. And we love it. He's got Sasha.
He has like his voice changes, but his face
does
is very flat affect.
Does his voice change? His,
but you know what I mean? His face is like, I'm not even involved in this. But then all of a sudden it gets hype. And I'm like, oh, there it is.
You know when Sasha looks at you, like, because he's here, I can feel his mustache like piercing me. And I'm like, I've said something he hates here. And I'm like waiting. And
couple
then I'm
of
like,
them.
Yeah. And I'm like, Kev, come on. Like, just say we got to go. We got to go. Like, don't let him
get
in.
Here's my suggestion. Hire someone that didn't play for the Red Bulls. What's going on? Why is it all Red Bulls players?
I didn't play for the Red Bulls.
Well, you know what I mean? Everyone next to you besides Kevin Egan, they're all Red Bulls players. What's going on here?
That's NYCFC fans, we make that complaint all the time. It's whatever. But Sasha is one person we have not had on this show. Okay, so you're ahead of him. But,
there it is.
I love this thing, always, by the way.
We've told.
Can we get you one for 360?
Yes. This is what we need for 360. I'm talking to the execs.
Hit,
bringing
hit
this
the green
over
button
to
on the top right.
Which
that,
one?
That. Yeah, you if you add that to 360,
it is. Instead of like the Kevs, like we gotta go, we can do this.
To transition to key play alert, I love it. that
haunts me in my dreams. By the way, never you know like the commercial breaks with na na na. It's Kevin's like. We got to go. Like, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh, Kevin, like, get out of my head. We love you, Kev.
Here's my question. Why are there commercial breaks on Apple TV Plus, bro? Why am I watching a guy in 120 frames a second swing a flag? I know y'all not doing nothing.
They got to pay my wage.
There's no commercials. How much did that guy pay? Can it be us?
Enough.
Just like
enough for me to go shopping.
Funny, we're complaining. All of our MLS complaints.
Jesus. Why am I getting bombarded? I'm doing you a favor coming on your show.
Here's a suggestion.
The one thing I want to say is that so we've told this story to Sasha, and be great to have him on the show to talk about it. But the first MLS Cup that we ever went to was in Toronto,
and we snuck
into this VIP.
They ain't letting you into the VIP.
Especially not then. I mean, now they definitely know. But then
now they know who we are to reject us. But,
when my nicest shirt was from Old Navy, no, they were not letting
me. Hey, I like Old Navy.
Oh, dude, you really are
sundress
from Jersey. You really are from Jersey.
But it was obviously Toronto against Seattle. Seattle ended up winning, but the MLS Cup party, and they invite a few players. So that was like, we met Juan Agudelo there.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's
great. A few other players. And Sasha was one of them. He was at this party and it was immediately.
I can't wait for this story.
I was like, Sasha, especially playing for Rebels at the time was, very competitive.
I got
winning.
I got Anderlecht highlights in my head. I'm like, oh my God, Sasha Kljestan.
But he also, you could tell Sasha wants to be playing in MLS Cup. He doesn't want to be at this party.
But also, we're at a party. You know what I mean? So we walk up with the energy of two young comedians.
And Sasha Kljestan would have hated that.
Well, buddy. Not only did he hate it, he let it be known that he hated it.
This is what I love about it. I need to see this. Roll clip in for this.
I wish there was video of it.
There's a photo. I don't know if I have it. There's this photo. Okay, I just found it. I have this photo of us with Sasha, and he is smiling in this photo, but I promise
you. This was the only moment his teeth were visible.
I've never seen his teeth smile before.
In the entire conversation with him, he was like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to.
It's because your energy is too high. He's not a high energy guy.
He actually offered to take the picture because he knew that would be the end of the conversation.
And then this was the one moment he smiled.
Oh my God, you guys look amazing.
Thank you. But he smiled in this one moment and was like, Yeah. Right back to
he was no, like, he's the best. No, he is the best. Went, yeah.
He like, you know, like powered down, dude. I heard boom.
So that's always a fun Sasha story. But now we've spoken to him. He's mad.
He's
but
mad.
Cool. I've seen you guys at a fair share of MLS All-Stars, MLS
yes,
Cups.
Yes, yeah. So it's
you guys know how to party.
We turn things around.
Yeah, you turn things up.
Yeah. So we bring the fun sometimes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Next up, I want to get to one other topic to cover about BJ Callahan. Alexis wanted to bring this up.
Especially when you know we talk about who's going to be the next manager of Inter Miami, right? There's a lot of options, right? You could bring back Wilfred Nancy. He's just sitting there getting paid by Celtic to sit at home, right? But why don't you take who I think might actually be the next U.S. men's national team coach, BJ Callahan, who just won. An MLS club just won in the Azteca.
Yeah.
That's and also, huge. Also
first time ever an MLS team's done that, by the right? way. That's
and,
insane. Yeah.
And also beat Inter Miami in the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Which I heard that was the personal issue that Javier Mascherano had. Is that BJ Callahan beat him? That's what I heard. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
No, but yeah, Nashville has been in incredible form. I mean, when you look at BJ Callahan, mm-hmm. and maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves, yeah. but it seems like these performances
you're getting ahead, and his name is BJ. That's hilarious. Anyway,
okay,
dad jokes for the win.
This is why Sasha did it.
Yeah, that's why Sasha's never coming on the show. Yeah.
But when you look at his team's performances and looking forward, it just seemed like the picture seems a lot brighter for BJ Callahan.
When I look at what BJ Callahan has done for Nashville, because last year Dax from week one, because he's like Mr. Nashville, like mm-hmm. any team he's yeah. played for, he's like the biggest hype man. And he was like, hey, you honestly, this is the real deal. I'm like, I'm just not buying it yet. And it took me probably 6-7 months into last season to fully get on board. And it's because defensively they've always been really difficult to break down, right? When Nashville rolled into the league, it was one of the most boring teams to watch in Major League Soccer.
So
I'm sorry. It was so frustrating.
I think Hani Mukhtar would have agreed with you, by the way.
It was like Minnesota last year, yeah. right? Like it's so frustrating to watch because you're just like, you have players to be so good. It was screaming out for a coach to come in and kind of revamp this team. I didn't know much about BJ Callahan, if I'm being completely honest, before he came in. I had heard from the guys. But not only is he tactically a really good man manager, he's a player manager, right? You can tell that the players love playing for him. And you don't find that a lot in this day and age. And I think it's important to be able to balance that both for managers because of the big contracts, the big egos, the Instagrams, the TikToks. Like back in the day, it wasn't like this. Like players showed up to training, you're a professional footballer, right? Professional soccer player. Nowadays, you're a professional spokesperson for yourself. You're trying this media empire, but you're trying to show up on the pitch where a manager's got to be able to almost get all of those egos under one roof. And I think, not that Hani Mukhtar was this, but he kind of fell off finding his way in the attack because he was defensively probably so frustrated that he was defending for 85 minutes of the match. Right. He's a new player now under BJ Callahan. Sam Surge, arguably for me, is the best number nine that we have in Major League Soccer.
I didn't think he would have this in him when he came into the league.
Neither.
I'm like, what is going on? BJ Callahan has found a way to make him look insane.
No, and then you go out in the offseason and you get Espinoza, a player for San Jose. We were like, if he played for any other team, this would be a player that we spoke about every week in and week out on MLS Countdown. We just never spoke about him because San Jose was tough to watch, right? Yeah. And now they're fun to watch. But you get him on a free. You get Madrigal that's been unbelievable.
Shout out to San Jose for filling out the DocuSign.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, it's cool. The fax machine was just on, bro. What happened?
But then you kind of have two players. Again, I always go back to midfielders because I feel like sometimes they don't get enough credit that they deserve because it's, you know, great defensive effort or a great attack for this game. But you have Tagseth and Yazbek that have been sensational. Multiple competitions, rarely get subbed out of that starting 11 where you've seen Sam Surge and Hani Mukhtar rested in match congestion. They've played, and they've played 90 minutes, and they're just fun to watch and a fun interview. We're trying to get them on Countdown this weekend, both of them together, because apparently they're really good friends off the pitch. Oh, but nice. You see that on the pitch as well, which fair play to BJ Callahan. I love Mauricio Pochettino. I think he's absolutely fantastic. But if he decided to leave the U.S. men's national team after the World Cup, I don't know if he is or not, BJ Callahan would be a great shout for the U.S. men's national team. He's been there before. He kind of knows the system.
Nations
he knows
League, they look great under his
the players. The players clearly
stay in Major League Soccer, BJ Callahan, because we love you.
Yeah, it's an impressive run, to say the least, for them. So, what was the last thing?
You wanted to talk about Cracker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, three, two. So 3-2. Speaking of U.S. men's national team, I know you are a Canadian international.
Yeah.
Minnesota, but I want to. I want to.
Who's the coach now? Trudeau?
Huh? I don't know. No, he's with Katy Perry. He ain't got time for us.
Matt Crocker leaves. What's his exact sport?
He was the
sporting director.
Director of U.S. soccer.
Yeah. So
I got you. Don't worry.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. But he leaves that role 2 months before a home World Cup. I mean, and really, the main thing we were talking about beforehand is just like the optics of it just do not look great. He's obviously going to a similar role in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. You understand clearly the money.
Yeah, we all know why.
Yeah, we all know why. But optically, even from your perspective, who covers the national team as well, what is your thought when you first saw that news?
Yeah, it was one of those where you almost had to fact check who posted it on X, right? Because there's so many people that don't have that blue check mark anymore. Because I was like, well, this is interesting timing. But I want to give credit to him because I know a lot of people are like, really harping on him and the U.S. Federation. And I understand why, because it's weird timing when you're this close to a World Cup, but a home World Cup as well. Mm-hmm. But let's remember, he brought in Emma Hayes. That's completely turned the U.S. women's national team around, because that team was heading in a direction where I was nervous, right? The big personalities that, how do you kind of weed them out of the team without hurting the ego, because they built the U.S. program, right? Yeah. She did a phenomenal job of that, made really big calls. Then he goes out and gets Mauricio Pochettino, for me, a fantastic hire, whether you want to agree with that or not. I think there's bigger issues around the U.S. team than Mauricio Pochettino. It's a difficult thing because obviously we all know probably why he's made that decision, and you can never fault anyone for that. You don't know what's going on at home or whatever the decisions go on in behind that. I've been someone that's moved around a lot in America, from overseas to here, to Canada, to wherever. So I would never judge anyone for taking a job, first and foremost. But I want to give him credit because he's completely, for me, turned around a program where I think it was heading in a difficult direction on both sides. Now, again, it's difficult, and I think people are finding it hard because the U.S. team hasn't been good. And they haven't been good for the last two seasons, and they haven't been good maybe for off-field stuff, right? Where you're looking at, why are you coming out with your fifth documentary when you haven't been playing good for your national team, right? So I think there's more individual questions to ask individual players, because I know for me, and I can only speak on my personal side of it, playing for the Canadian women's national team. And again, I wasn't on a big contract for my professional club, so it was easy maybe for me to shift focus to the Canadian team because that's where I made my money on off the field. I was so proud to represent Canada, and I was so excited to get the call up for the Canadian women's national team every single time, even though I knew I was going to make the 2015 World Cup team in Canada. When I got that call, I cried, because you know how much work goes into it. I'd be very interested how many players like that feel that way on your U.S. men's national team. Right. Because I would say Diego Luna, when he gets that call, right? It's that border player, a Christian Roldan, an MLS player for the Seattle Sounders. But those, for me, are the type of players that I would want in my squad when you're looking at the 17, 18, 19, 20th player. Because they're going to make your team better, and they're not going to bitch and complain of why they're not in the starting 11. Yeah. So that's what I'll say about that. Again, I would never comment on anyone taking a job because, like, you just don't know what the ins and outs of
it. I will say I'm going to give him credit for taking the job, for doing what he did and bringing in the managers that he did, and also judge him for leaving 2 months before the World Cup. I think it's like,
but you're not thinking about the cash machine you bought on Amazon. It's just sitting there doing nothing. And now,
you had mentioned, you're like, oh, I don't know what's going on at home. I think at home he's like, there's no fat stacks of cash in my home. That's the problem.
Like, yo, baby girl, you want diamonds? I got an idea.
Hey, what girl doesn't love? That's what I'm saying.
That's a good point. Yeah,
I love diamonds. So I love handbags. So.
I will never judge him for that. Real quick, I do want to ask you one last question because I know we got to run. Vancouver potentially may leave the city of Vancouver.
Yeah,
the vibes are good now. Is there a way to save this? I think this is big for Canada.
I hope so. A, it's big for Canada because it's the only team right now that's actually been exciting for the last two seasons in Canada. Montreal, I mean, where do you even start?
I think they just released another statement. So don't worry about it. Everything's going to be
fine. It's frustrating. Toronto, I feel like they're almost turning the corner with what's been going on there and the players that they're bringing in. I still think they need probably two more transfer windows in Toronto to be really, really competitive. I do. I really, really do. I think Sargent's
been
great.
Keep bringing in Italians and they can't even qualify for the World Cup. I mean, why would you do this? You know what I mean?
You just love the dig. For Vancouver, obviously, this is a tough one because they took a chance on me. And like, they pulled me out of Saskatoon where soccer was like, what's soccer? Like, mm-hmm. you don't play ice hockey. You don't play CFL football. Like, you don't play lacrosse. Yeah. So
go ice fishing.
Yeah. Go seriously. That's what we do. We ice fish in the winter. So
see, I know about that.
Yeah, you do. Love that for you. So it's difficult because I know how much they've developed, not only the Vancouver Whitecaps, but developed women's and men's football in North America, but specifically in Canada. So it breaks my heart when you look at kind of everything that the fans have gone through, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's been a lot of ugly, let's be honest. It's difficult, right? But also, if you have to look at it the other way, if you look at all these incredible soccer-specific stadiums and, you know, the grounds that teams are playing on, that you have to be up to where Major League Soccer is. Sure, so like, I understand the pressure and I understand, you know, the pressure that MLS is putting on them, but I agree with it. Like, as players, like when Thomas Mueller first signed there, I was like, well, he's choosing to go play like, you know, BC Place and on turf.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he made it a positive. And I've played on that. Like, I've played there, but it's just, I hope they don't leave because the fans don't deserve it. It's one of the best places when it's sunny. When it's rainy, I'm like, oh, but when it is sunny, it is literally breathtaking. It's beautiful. You can take the ferry to the stadium. You can take the tram to the stadium. You can bike, you can walk. It's awesome. Like, it's just so cool.
They got to stop getting bumped for motocross for playoff games.
But we love Vancouver. Stay.
We've hung out with the Whitecaps fans throughout the years, but we've never been to BC Place yet. So it's still a...
Yeah, I know. It's one of the few stadiums we haven't been to yet.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, seriously.
We got to get out there.
I got to get you there because then you walk a little street over and there's the best poutine shop in the world.
Okay.
And you know Canadians are known for their poutine.
Yeah, I'm locked in. Okay, yeah, I'm done. I'm ready to go. Let's go right now.
That's a proper pitch from Kale and Kyle. Yeah. Kale and Kyle, thank you so much for joining us.
It's
an absolute honor. Obviously, MLS on Apple TV, MLS 360, MLS Countdown. My last question to you is simply, now that MLS has been on Apple TV a couple of years, now we have more like recognizable faces of people who deliver our MLS news. How's your life changed since being on MLS on Apple TV? More, are people recognizing you more? Are people seeing you as...
I'm still a loser.
I don't know. Like, sometimes people, you're like my soccer mom on TV.
Cut someone off in like the produce section? They go, 360 over here.
No, you know, want to know my favorite, actually? And like, it's nice, but it's also like, oh God. Youth sports here is wild in America.
Sure.
Like,
in Jersey, they don't mess around.
Yeah, IG stories, I see them from time to time.
Yeah, and so like I'll roll up to the games, like whatever, if it's like an early Saturday morning game or a Sunday morning game. And like I've had a few people, won't name names, like a few too many people. Like I mean, this is like a weekly thing, like two or three different dads or moms will come up to me and like try to break, like tactically be like, if you just tell your son to like, and I'm like, I don't say anything because I'm just like, oh, but then there was one time I bit and I never bite. Like I usually sit away from the parents and like probably people think I'm like miserable or like I'm like rude. And I'm not. I swear I'm not. I know my Instagram comes across as if I'm like snotty. I'm really not.
Demeanor.
Yeah, I'm like nice. I'm really nice. If I'm nice to you, it means like you're doing something good because I can be whatever. Anyway, okay. I'm trying to sell myself. I'm not selling myself. So this dad came up to me and he was just like, he was talking to me about, it was El Trafico and it was LAFC Galaxy. Mm-hmm. And he broke it down for me and I was like, you're wrong.
Little soccer splaining to Kale and Kyle.
It's Jersey. It looks, you know, him being such surreally. And you're like, what?
I went,
what?
I said, I'm going to stop you there. I'm so sorry. And like this one mom that does know, because our kids are like friends. Yeah. And I was like, please don't ever mansplain me soccer when you don't know who I am.
Yeah. Right,
and I did that one and I hated that I did.
Yeah,
like, you don't know who I am.
Because you know that it's a Jersey guy. He's like, you know, you can't use your hands.
Yes. It was an offside. It was an offside. And I was like,
I'll explain the rule to you.
Yeah, I put my hand.
There's
I was
no
like,
bases
yeah.
here.
And sometimes
it's crazy.
I'll get caught and I'm like offside. Like, and I'm like, oh, okay, don't do that. Don't like, because these referees are getting paid nothing and they're like doing 18 games a day. And I'm like, Kaylin, just let them do it. But that's how it was when I played. I was in the rest phase. It was a worst nightmare. And the dad, it wasn't offside. Sir, let me get LVAR. Yeah. I have it on my phone. Yeah. It's offside.
Yeah, yeah. If anybody
what
here,
countries I don't know offside?
Yeah. Anybody here who's qualified to say that's offside, I think is me.
I lost my head.
Which one of you got an Olympic tattoo? Yeah. None of you, right? Yeah. This lady right here.
Yeah, like there it is. Zoom in on that, Carter.
Cut to the ice. Yeah. Oh.
Anyways, safe to say that dad never spoke to me again.
Yeah. Love it. Good. Okay. You don't need him in your life.
No.
Caitlin Kyle.
That guy, by the way, owns the best deli in the game. So it's a real shame.
Absolutely honored. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Super, super cool. We're going to wrap up the show now. So you can get
to be a part of this.
Yeah, yeah. So just let everybody know if they should follow you anywhere.
I'm a boring follow, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Boring follow.
You want to know a lot about youth soccer in Jersey.
If you want to know about Pilates, I got you. Come on over to the page.
My doctor says I need that. We'll talk about that. Turns out my L5S1 or whatever's going on back there.
Where are we going?
Okay, look, you're just breaking all HIPAA protocol.
I'm not going to talk about it myself.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Shout out to Caitlin Kyle as well. Make sure. Before our segment, we had Sophia Wilson on.
I love her.
Action-packed show.
I don't know how you missed her. She was here. Thank you, Sophia Wilson.
So shout out to Sophia Wilson as well. Make sure you follow us on all socials, at Soccer Cooligans. Make sure you hit like and subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. And share this podcast with your best friend if you are so inclined. Thank you so much for hanging out. Just another reminder, the Cooligans, Alexis and I, we will be in Tampa this weekend for the Premier League Fan Fest. We are the MCs. So we'll be on stage with everybody, hanging out with everybody. It's always super fun. The last one in Kansas City was an absolute party. So I expect nothing less from Tampa, as you see the shirt I'm wearing. So we'll see you this weekend for a bunch of incredible games in the Premier League. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. Take care. Say bye, Caitlin.
See ya.
Love you guys.